You lucky devils. We're back. See what happens, you know? You get paid to do something, you got to do it on time. So, we got a lot of stuff to go over. Big fishing report, small fishing report, I don't know. It's a fishing report. But, Pennell is making public, you know, what we've been hinting about for a while, that the Conflict 2, or the new Conflict, is coming out. And I'm that much, you know, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across, me and Captain Kale in the guest seat. Come on, Frank, quit playing guitar. You can do that. All right, there you go. All right, quiet, boy. All right, get that guy to shut up every once in a while. Anyway, big thing coming out with Penn on the Conflict 2. The Conflict, as you know, it is going away. And Robert and I have been involved with this since the conception of it. I think I've been yelling at Penn for, what, 4 years now?
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
You know, Penn's been bringing out all this heavy hardware, and to me it's been kind of redundant. You know, yeah, the Slammer's really cool, and, you know, all these, you know, stuff, but I like the Clash when they brought out the Clash.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
The Clash was a great reel. I don't know. I think we could have used this new Conflict. I had a better name for it, and I don't remember what the name for it was, but Conflict is fine, but it's not the Conflict. And the reason I don't like the name Conflict on this new pen is because it's totally different reel. It's completely changed. It's very lightweight. It's got machine cut gears like the Clash. It's, you know, got all this stuff. It's going to be priced in that 170 range. Let's say around 170. Could be 160 to 180 is, you know, somewhere in that range. But they've got machine cut gears, you know, all the whole bit, like the Clash, except lightweight.
Right.
I think it deserved a whole new name. I don't think that it...
Yeah, because, I mean, they totally revamped everything about it, basically, as far as I can tell. The only thing that stayed the same was that it's still just flat black.
Yeah, but I mean, why
you know, I think that's the only thing about it that stayed the same was the color.
Why wouldn't you give a brand new reel a brand new name? Why would you pack it in with the, you know, stuff from the old one? It, to me, it doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure.
They should have called it the Penn Recon.
Yeah.
Something high speed, low drag,
yeah,
you know?
I had a great name for it, and it turned out when I was telling them, you know, this is what you should call it, Penn already owned the name. It was one of their
reels.
Well,
there you go.
And,
it was a reel in Australia or something,
yeah,
wasn't it?
It was a reel in Australia.
So you say you didn't recommend Captiva, did you?
No, we didn't do the Captiva thing. But it would be like bringing out another reel and calling it Captiva when that was the worst reel they ever made.
Right.
You know, it was... 9 out of 10, you could not get anything. You couldn't get them to hold together. And 1 out of 10, some people have them, and they just were great. I mean, 1 out of 10.
I know another company like that.
Yeah, we know a few. You know, we've had so many problems with reels and reel companies, you know, getting
and
better.
Every one of them have their pros and their cons, and each one comes out with something that just doesn't make the cut, and other ones that do, you know, but
yeah.
Well,
it's just a matter of
trial.
Well,
if this one lives up to the prototype, this is going to be
gonna
a great new reel.
Pretty impressive.
It deserved a better name, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it deserved a better name. I think Conflict is a good name, but they had that reel.
Yeah.
You know, bringing back into the fishing report stuff, we are doing advertisers by the spot. That's what's paying for the help while we sit back here and do this stuff. It's not a money-making scheme. It's a more of a scheme just to try and even out the cost of this, because when we're doing it as we have time, that's one thing. But if you've got to do it on a regular basis, I actually have to pay people to be on the floor. That's why you guys are going to put up with ads, so I can pay people to be on the floor while we do this. So, starting off on our area fishing report here with the Peace River and the areas around the Peace River, brought to you by PC Solutions of Arcadia, but he's moving into Punta Gorda, he told me. So, seemed like a really nice guy. I don't know a lot about him, except what I do like is he can log in remotely to your computer, or he'll come to your house. he seemed very genuine. And the little bit I've talked to him, I liked him a lot. You know, if you guys call him and he helps you out, you know, send me some emails. Let me know what this guy's like. Personally, I liked him. I was real happy, you know, and that's how I...
Nowadays, having somebody come to your house to fix it is great, because you've got to unhook keyboards and monitors and printers and scanners and TVs and speakers and all this stuff, and it's a pain to bring it into a shop.
And, you know, he can even do that remote login thing, you know, but whatever it is, he seems like a pretty good guy. That's PC Solutions of Arcadia. If you click the thing there, it'll take you right to his site. So anyway, getting started, anybody heard anything up in the Peace River? I will start off with some big redfish still up around the area. I would say kind of around Harbor Heights, but pushing more over towards the Punta Gorda side. There are some snook in front of the docks on Harbor Heights, but not as much as there was. And I'm waiting to hear some stuff about the dam up at Shell Creek, but I haven't heard anything this week on it. Anybody heard anything?
No.
There's been some snook up there at the dam, but it's mostly been an evening and early morning bite. You know, a couple of the guys have been going up there and working during the middle of the day and just not producing, but if you're willing to go up there right at dark when the mosquitoes are at their perfect finest point, the guys have been doing pretty good on catch and release of those, and then there's even been a handful of juvenile tarpon mixed in with them. But that water's kind of stabilized a little bit, so it's slowing down.
Okay.
And the guys have been throwing spool techs, the Rapala X wraps.
There is no way in God's green earth I'm going to throw a spool tech at Shell Creek.
No.
It ain't going to happen. No. I'm telling you right now, that's a $20 lure. And those rocks are 18 inches below the surface.
They eat a lot of lures.
I throw a storm, that storm paddle tail.
Wild eyes.
I'll throw them up there. They're a buck a piece.
Something cheaper.
No problem. And it will catch fish, and I'm sure it will do, you know, I mean, the spool tech's a great lure. There ain't no way I'm spending that kind of money throwing it at Shell Creek Dam.
I know.
I'm going to be doing the storm.
I'm just going by the fishing reporter telling you what people are throwing.
But I'm saying I'll go for a bomber there, $5. You know, $5 to $6, maybe even an $8 one. But, you know, I got plenty of bombers here for $5. I can throw a bomber there.
Well, remember, you are a bait shop at the same time. Go ahead, throw those spool techs. They were great.
Yeah, everybody, go throw spool techs. They're wonderful at the Shell Creek Dam. What the heck was I thinking? All right. Anyway, let's see. That takes us down to the 41 Bridge. Went down there for the fireworks. Had a great time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, we had a great time. I took the pontoon down, and...
why not?
It was a little iffy coming back because I forgot a light to shine the markers with, and normally it wouldn't be any big deal for me, but there was so many other boats all of a sudden started going up river, I was very limited on where I could travel.
Right.
So, you know, once we saw the markers, it was easy. Once I got past I-75, that was a cakewalk because I know exactly where everything is. But a single marker sitting out there is hard to find.
I've always done the same thing up there on the 4th of July evening. Follow one light. When that light stops, pick another one.
Yeah.
Because the first one just ran aground, and now you go follow a different light.
What was really funny, the least amount of boats was in the main channel. The mark channel.
That's normal.
Yeah.
That's normal.
The most boats were trying to cross the shallows up there. But I will say the whole Harpoon Harry's or what is it, Crab Shack group down there.
Yeah.
Great job with the fireworks this year. The music... the fireworks, the whole thing. Awesome job.
See, we were too far away. We were down by Grassy Point, so we didn't hear any of the music.
We got right up there, and they're saying, well, I don't want to be that close. I said, nah, I want to get up. I want to hear what's going on and everything. Awesome job they did at the fireworks show this year. The whole Crab Shack, Jerry Cleffy group, you know, Bruce Lashley, they did an awesome job. I was really impressed. It had been a couple years since I'd been down there. Nice show. They could have spaced it out a little bit more. I think they were so busy trying to shock and awe everybody. You know, putting a 5 or 10 second pause or 20 second pause in here or there would have been a little more effective.
I thought the same thing, but it still seemed like it was longer than usual.
It was a good long show. I'm just saying they could afford to put a couple spaces in there. I think that would have
paced it out a little better.
Yeah, you know, another 5 or 10 minutes longer, you got all that time going down there, and let the some of the breeze kept the smoke away pretty good. It was funny how you could smell it afterwards. Man, oh, yeah. All of a sudden that gunpowder smell just came in big time. But so hats off to the whole Lashley group down there. You know, the Crab Shack and all that. Great job on the fireworks. The crowd must have been massive because we could hear them screaming from where we were.
Oh, yeah. We could hear them down at Grassy Point.
Yeah.
Screaming.
So, no, I was very impressed. We had a great time. Me, Cliff, and Terry went down. Moderation in our beverages, you know, had to drive back. But, oh, no, great show. Any fishing down there? We never took a fishing pole with us to go down there.
Neither did we. I got out there and said, why didn't I bring a fishing pole?
We got down there so close to when it started, there was no time to fish. And then the fireworks went off and lots of ooing and awing. So I never, you know. I was very happy. The closest thing to a rod I had was that cup with my, it was actually Cap Morgan.
Your adult beverage?
Yeah, I was on rum kick. I don't know how. Well, you know, got off the vodka, went to the rum.
Your inner pirate came out.
My inner pirate came out, yes. Well, Cliff was on the boat. That would explain it, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yeah. So.
But there's
something about fishing. Cliff, got to put rum in there.
Fishing-wise, there's still some juvenile tarpon down there. They have thinned out a little bit. And for a while, it's been really hard to judge when they're going to bite. That outgoing tide was better in the beginning of the evening, but they were hitting the incoming tide late evening, early morning.
There's also been still some snook down there for fairly good consistency mixed in with those juvenile tarpon. Mostly been a nighttime bite and right first daylight. Getting a couple reports for some people that are just kind of going down there just to relax and fish, catching a few black drum. I've heard of two reports of some small redfish being caught on the north end off that park. A couple of mangrove snapper, and that's about it that I've heard of.
You know, okay.
Not bad, not setting the world on fire, but a nice little spot to go to hang out in the shade and relax.
Yeah, well, that's one good thing about it is the shade factor there. It's you can get up underneath there in the shade. I just, it bothers my ears, you know.
That traffic.
Yeah, the rumbling, so I haven't been.
It's got like that perfect tone to be.
Yeah, it hurts. It's like when somebody goes by with the boom box in the car. Lashley Pier,
I've been hearing of a couple of reports of some small catch and release snook at night and in the early morning, but that's honestly the only report that I've had off of there. Been a little on the quiet side, and I think because for a couple days there they were doing the fireworks stuff down there, so people were just a little apprehensive about getting into the chaos, so that's probably why we haven't heard much in the last couple days.
Yeah, I think it's going to get a lot better after, you know, once everything quiets down. Anything off Bayshore?
No, I have not heard anything this week.
Crickets.
Okay. All right. Let's see. No, I haven't forgot a sponsor there. Okay, Ray Smith. I mean, he's so busy. I think Ray just bought the ad because we're friends. Ray Smith Excavating. If you need site work done or anything else, I mean, Ray did my house. And, you know, if you want it right and it's dirt work, you call Ray Smith. That's all there is to it.
Simple, pretty self-explanatory.
Easy. Yeah. If if you've got a lot you need filled, graded, and everything should, you know, you want everything exactly where it's supposed to be, call Ray Smith. All right. You can, his number's right there on the card and all that kind of stuff, you know, but they do all kinds of anything underground, good people. This is the Port Charlotte Canal System, Ray sponsoring. Anything going in the Port PC canals? You're not allowed to say at the mouth of anything.
At the entrance to the canals?
You're not even allowed to say that. You have to find somewhere else to go. Did you say that every week? And I'm not, no, you're forbidden for at least the next month.
Okay. Nothing's happening then.
Okay. Well, you don't live anywhere close to the mouth of the canal, and you're catching snook there.
I haven't caught anything for the last 5 days.
There was
juvenile tarpon rolling behind my house for like 4 mornings in a row. The moment I went and got a pack of paddle tails that I had Austin yep. show me and the jig head to go out and throw at them, zero. Nothing. I'm not kidding you. And the tide has been absolutely amazing the last couple of nights, ripping out hard in the evenings.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing uh-huh. anything but an occasional jack coming through, busting up on the far side of the canal. I can't even catch a peanut snook back there.
When we came back...
Actually, here's better. I dumped two buckets of shrimp there yesterday.
Okay.
3/4 of it is still sitting there this morning, so the catfish didn't even raid it.
All right, Kale, what were you going to say?
When we came through Robert's Canal the night of the fireworks, and what really amazed me is we went by every snook light from the mouth all the way almost up to the end of the canal, and not a single fish on any of those lights.
Really?
Not one. And we had the same thing happening right there at the little bay at the Port Charlotte Beach ramp. We went put the boat in one morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. There were 10,000 tarpon rolling in that little
yeah,
bay.
Yeah, last week it was on fire all throughout there. But
when I got home
crickets.
At noon, they were still rolling in there. Next morning, gone.
Yeah, it's literally like in 5 days' time, it went from hero to zero.
I'll be darned. Okay. Elgabene Pier.
It's closed down for the fishermen from the shore part of it. They're doing the repairs on all the pilings still. And I think they're also, supposedly somebody told me that they're going to repave that a little bit for the walkway to make it a little bit more even, more stable. So that ought to be interesting with how they do it out there.
All right. This is the first one they're actually doing at the right time of year.
Yeah. Well, they did Placida not too long ago.
But Placida, that was still when people were doing it, but at least it wasn't in January.
Right. Exactly.
So, all right. That's going to take us over to the Myakka River System, sponsored by my buddy Jim up at Murdoch Tire and Auto. When I need tires on my boat trailer, I go up there. Literally, if there's a problem with the car, it was funny because, you know, Josh is now a regular customer there's up there.
Right.
And he had all this stuff and all these sensors and everything else, and... He went up, and Josh's truck wouldn't run. Everything was, you know, flashing and going crazy. And
let me guess, he didn't put his gas cap on tight enough.
No.
Because I never thought about that until just now.
That's what happened to my dad. My dad, we pulled in there one day, and Dad's, you know, his car wasn't running, and Jim's listening to it. He goes, hang on a minute. Opens the gas tank, tightens the cap. He says, try it now. Charity crickets.
Right.
But I was... The same thing happened to Josh that happened to me. But Jim sees patterns and trends and repairs the same way I try to see them in fishing.
Right.
Sure.
I was in Tampa, and I called Jim. I said, Jim, my truck's not starting. I said, I don't know what's going on. He said, clean the negative terminal. Not the battery terminals, both. Specifically the negative one. He says, for some reason or other, that's just... big thing right now, and this was a couple years ago, several years ago. And I cleaned it, and the truck ran fine coming all the way back. I'm like, what?
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Did you know? Yeah, no, I mean, I was in St. Pete, Tampa. I was up at sea school. That was six, eight years ago, because I was renewing my license. And just now, you know, Josh had all the trouble with his truck and all the sensors and everything else. And he went up there, and Jim says, no, you got to shorten your battery. That's what's causing all the flashing, and the lights won't work, and the truck won't start. There's a short in the battery. He says, when you got a Chrysler, this is what happens.
Really?
That's what will cause all that. Did you see all the flashing with his truck not wanting to start and all that? Dash lights coming on and off and everything else. He said there was a short in the battery. And, you know, Josh's like, Jim replaced the battery. Truck runs fine, everything's good. Josh replaced that one sensor, and Jim told him, now you got to hold on to it, because that sensor you bought at the auto parts store is going to wear out real quick, and you have to put the original back in.
Nice.
So anyway, I'm sorry, do we know these people? You know, yeah. I apologize for all that, boys and girls. We're supposed to be doing a fishery report. It's just funny when, you know, you're talking about Jim and the stories come out, you know. All right, the Myakka River System, anything up in the cutoff, cattle dock, 14-foot hole, tippy canoe, Elgabene, wherever.
We did pretty good in the cutoff the other day. We caught a handful of redfish, which is sadly pretty good nowadays. Caught some nice snapper in there. surprisingly nice snapper in there, in the Mayaca cutoff. And there's been still some trout kicking around up around the mouth of the north entrance to the Mayaca cutoff.
I've been hearing of some small sharks scattered throughout from the mouth all the way up to Eljo Bean Bridge. Black tips mostly with a couple of bonnet heads. Guys are seeing some free jumping tarpon, not too many people hooking them, but there's definitely some tarpon peppered throughout the whole river system there, so I would look for some of the small thread fins that are starting to show up in there and kind of concentrate around those for the sharks and the tarpon. You know, so that's been where it's kind of been most of the activity, it seems like, for everybody that have been coming through and talking to about it.
All right, that's going to put us into one that I'm going to be really surprised if we have a report, but I'm ready to be shocked. South Gulf Cove canals.
Nothing.
Kill?
The same. I haven't heard anything out of South Gulf Cove.
Okay. And the West Wall, sponsored by Luigi's. And, you know, speaking of Luigi's, that's where we have the fishing seminars. And we have a... Hopefully, we're getting some AV equipment in this week, today or tomorrow. And we're going to be redoing the format the way we've been doing the fishing talks and the seminars up at Luigi's. We've got a whole new program lined up. We hope to be able to kick it off in the full swing, more audiovisual and a lot more stuff, eventually working our way up to record it. But anyway, this the West Wall is sponsored by Luigi's. And we had two guys that said, can we bring our wives? They don't fish, but they just want to come for dinner. I said, of course, that's what Luigi's is for. You know, we have waiters and waitresses. You eat and relax while we do the meeting.
That's dinner and fun. Show.
Yep, dinner and show. So anyway, this week, this month of July, next week, we have, it'll be myself. I'm going to be moderator. Captain Kale, Robert, Mike Myers, and Josh Olive, the whole radio waterline crew, plus the some of us fish and frankers. So, anyway, it's going to be an interesting Luigi's thing this week or this month with Josh Olive, Mike Myers, Kale, Robert, and myself. So it's going to be big show, huge show, big show. West Wall, what's going on in West Wall?
Well, most of the activity I'm hearing about is down towards the very southern end, almost basically to Muddy Bay and at the top end of Cape Hayes. Some redfish scattered along underneath those bushes, the mouths of a couple creeks. Handful of catch and release snook. Couple guys have been seeing some of the manatees down there and been seeing a couple cobia swimming with them, just haven't been able to. They either weren't prepared for it or didn't throw the right thing at them, but haven't been able to hook into any, but definitely seeing a few with them. So definitely kind of keep an eye out for the manatees swimming along and see what you can get into. How about you, Kale?
I've been kind of surprised at the amount of trout that are out on the grass beds on the west wall down towards the south end.
Okay.
Usually this time of year, if there's still trout in the harbor, that's one of the last places you'll look for them.
Right.
You know, but
especially with 93 degrees surface water temperature.
Exactly. But they're still hanging out there.
That's pretty wild. I was talking to Carl. I was asking what temperatures he was getting on the flats, and he said just about everywhere he went, it was 93. I'm like, so it's the same as the air temperature? He said, yep. I'm like, nice.
Yeah, it's, you know, we knew as soon as we got these rains that temperature was going to skyrocket.
Yep.
Well, brown water's a solar collector. Now, I'm going to say, if you're going to go to the West Wall and you have the option, it's worth checking out any time, but the beginning of an outgoing tide is going to be kind of your key time to get there, because what's happening is the salt water that comes in on an incoming tide gets pushed down that West Wall on the outgoing tide. It doesn't come in much there, but if it's going to get salt, a little bit of cooler water, it's going to be that first part of the incoming tide.
Yep.
The first third, and it's a little different than the rest of the harbor, which I'm going to want to fish on the incoming. But if you can get out to the west side on that first part of that outgoing tide, you're going to see a spike in the fishing.
Right.
Because that's when the salt comes down that side. That's when a little cooler water hits that side. Exactly opposite from the east side. All right, Capes. Anything Capes?
Long pause?
Yeah, long pause. There were 10,000 boats down there, you know, this past weekend, but, you know, it was a holiday weekend at the same time, so I didn't see anybody catching anything. I haven't heard. I've heard of some Spanish mackerel on the south end, some jacks on the south end, some trout still out there on the grass on the point.
Yeah, I'm kind of hearing the same thing on the Boca Grande side on that deeper channel where there's been some Spanish mackerel, a couple ladyfish, trout, kind of a mixed barrage, just not gangbusters, but I've also heard of a couple of small sharks, been some bonnet heads there, some Atlantic sharpnose. One guy hooked into a fairly good-sized bull shark that totally destroyed him, but he had fun for about 5 minutes. So, been a little bit of activity down there. Just not too much boat traffic, I think, was part of it, because, like you said, the holiday weekend.
Well, if you fish that right, and you get your boat in the right spot, that can be a great place to fish on the inside of Capes. Where all the flats boats cut through.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get on the outside of them and still be able to cast into that trench as they come through, that can be a good place to pick up fish. That boat traffic will help stir those fish up.
Yeah, it's amazing. Everybody always hates when boats run by them, and I'm waving them, trying to get them to go in front of me.
Please don't slow down.
Please don't slow down. Run. Great. Get in front of my boat between me and shore. I need to catch some fish.
And the bad thing is, usually on a holiday weekend, they're not in the right spot. They're right there in the middle where everybody's trying to run through.
Yeah, you want to be on the outside so you can cast over, let them. You want to get so the boat will run between you and the land.
Right.
Wave them in, reel in, wave them through, and as they go through, just cast as close to the outboard as you can without hooking it in that white water. Because when all that water gets stirred up, all the shrimp, the pinfish, every little crab gets mixed up in the water. Those fish come in and feed like crazy. And it takes us into Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, sponsored by Penn, as we were talking about at the beginning of the broadcast here. They have a new reel coming out at ICAST, which is next week. We're going to be delayed on the fishing report because we will actually be in Orlando at the Fishing Tackle Show. We will be getting it Saturday. We'll have the... But next week, fishing report won't be until Saturday because we will be at ICAST looking at all the cool new stuff. And
should be neat this year. A couple new things coming out that's kind of got you at least intrigued.
Yeah, and Penn's got all their old lineup, plus they're bringing out a brand new reel. So Penn is the sponsor of Bull Bay Turtle Bay. What do we have to bring reflection on Penn reels? What's going to test your Penn reel there?
There's still been quite a few trout mixed in out there in some of those deeper pockets in that 3.5 foot of water range. They've been getting a few redfish up underneath the bushes and some of those little deeper troughs. A lot of catch and release snook, especially as you work along the outer perimeter and the main cuts going into Bull and Turtle. And I've heard of some good mangrove snapper and a lot of small gags underneath the shacks right there at the entrance into Bull Bay. So, next little bag of stuff, and we're coming up on this full moon, so some of the night fishing back in there, if you want to fight the bugs, might be pretty impressive.
I don't know if it's worth it.
I don't know. It's tough.
So bad when it comes to mosquitoes. They will literally carry you away.
Did you get any mosquitoes by you? 4th of July?
Yeah, we got chewed up pretty good. But
really?
Yeah, we were only...
Not a one.
We were only 100 yards off a grassy point, so...
Okay, because we had not one mosquito. Not a bug, not a mosquito, nothing. And I was just upriver from the mooring fields on the edge there. Nice breeze blowing, and literally had to re-anchor the boat because the breeze was blowing us the opposite way I thought the current would be taking us, and so I had to move the anchor line around. But it was beautiful up there. Not a bug, no clear skies. We were watching the thunderstorms over by you. I actually took a video of the thunderstorm on one side and the fireworks on the other side.
That was a pretty good show.
Yeah. I mean, it was rivaling the fireworks there for a while. Let's see. It takes us out to the Cape Hayes Reef. What's going on at Cape Hayes Reef?
A couple of Spanish mackerel and a couple of small mangrove snapper is all I've heard about in the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's Cape Hayes Reef got quiet there all of a sudden.
It's been a little on the weird side for the last, I'd say, couple months, to be honest.
Seeing sharks all around it, but not near it.
Well, there you go. I'm going to throw that in. I'm going to go up and add a line to this here.
So you're seeing the sharks on the outer edges of it, like 100 way yards out, away, yeah, 200 yards
least,
away?
At least 100 yards away. But they're not anywhere near. Usually if you're fishing close to it,
there's a few around it.
Yeah, if you put a dead bait on the bottom, you'll usually pick up a shark there.
Right.
And they haven't been near it.
Okay. Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats. This is sponsored by Radio Waterline, which Robert is a host of every Saturday morning on 92.9 Kix Country FM from 7 to 9 o'clock in the morning with Josh Olive, Mike Myers, and our own Robert. Anything in that area to do justice to Radio Waterline, Mr. Robert?
I'm hearing mostly around in that whole bay area from the clam fields all the way up to Catfish Creek, basically all the Wooden Bay. Drifting through there, there's been some trout, some ladyfish, a handful of redfish. As you get out closer to the ICW, there's been a couple of Spanish mackerel, small sharks, and a couple of small bluefish mixed in out there too.
Kind of an understatement on the trout.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you want to catch big trout, that's the area to go.
I haven't heard a big trout this past week. I've been hearing a big trout off and on there, but this week I've just been hearing just kind of a mixed gamut of trout. And the guys are mostly catching them on live pinfish.
Yes, they are eating those little pinfish.
Little silver dollar size ones and better?
Yeah. Those ones that you usually throw back because they're too small to do any good?
Right.
They're just gobbling those down.
It's because there's no white bait around.
Right.
Okay. We have the Placida Pier and the Placida Trestle.
What do you got?
I have been hearing some snook in there. The guys on the boats have been doing decent with snook. School of Jacks running around in there. Some snapper, not great.
Yeah, the snapper seem to have gotten smaller out there and a little less number, but I also expect to see that July and August, especially close to the moon, because all their bigger size breeders run offshore to go spawn. The other thing I've heard a few of during the daytime has been a couple of pompano, a couple of Spanish mackerel, and I've heard of several bonnet heads being caught off of there too. So it's not setting the world on fire, but it's been pretty decent. You know, the night fishing has been the best activity, like you said, for the snook. A couple of tarpon been out there, a couple of bigger sharks.
It's been night fishing everywhere, seems to be the pattern.
Yeah, but this is it should be night fishing.
Right.
You want to be out at dark 30 in the morning. You want to get there before the sun, you know. You want to be leaving the ramp as soon as you can see at all.
Yes.
Because it's hot. And the coolest time of the day is first thing in the morning and overnight. Just stands to reason. Now,
as much as I hate to admit it, that's the best time.
Well, we're going to be, you know, going in later in the year, October, November, December, when you might not even want to be on the water till 10 o'clock in the morning because it's too chilly.
Right.
And the fish will be froze up. They're not going to want to do anything. You know, so this time of year, this is when you don't get to go to the smokehouse for breakfast or, you know, stop at your breakfast joint. This is where you want
to... With me, it's just to leave the ramp at 6, I got to get up at 4.
Yeah.
And I don't like getting up at 4.
Well, you know, it's where it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But let's take us up to Lemon Bay, where actually you've got some nice ramps up there. We've got them marked up on the website. You can find them, of course, on Maps of Where to Go Fishing. But what's going on up in Lemon Bay?
Mostly what I've been hearing about, to be honest with you, is up there by the Lemon Bay Conservancy. A couple of the guys have been kayak fishing and wade fishing along there and catching some good trout, handful of snapper, a couple oddball redfish. Been a lot of catch and release snook all through that whole area from Stump Pass on up the Intercoastal. The weird part was I had a guy that caught 6 sheep's head fishing out there. He was fishing around a mangrove shoreline, and his biggest one was like 17 and a half inches. You know, he was pretty excited about that, which is just something way out of character for this time of year. And he caught them on shrimp. He was using frozen shrimp, pitching under the bushes, hoping for anything, and was pleasantly surprised by those.
Yeah.
Should be surprised, but I'm not.
I don't know why I can't spell the word the. Every time I type it, it comes out H-T-E. I've got to constantly go back and change it. We're looking at the pier there in Englewood. I'm surprised somebody didn't want to sponsor that. It's such a well-used pier.
It is.
I thought somebody said, let me sponsor the Lemon Bay or the pier, but nobody's really jumped in. We've got a few more sponsors we're going to be adding. We've got a few captains that have asked us to put their stuff up. We're kind of going through, and I've got to get on the phone and talk with them and all that. Hopefully we'll have all that done by the time we do the next report. But, you know, they don't get charged for the week because they're not there yet. So, but until I actually talk to some of the people, like I spent time on the phone with the guy from, you know, the computer thing,
PC.
Arcadia, PC Solutions of Arcadia, whatever it is. I talked to him on the phone for a while. I really enjoyed it. And that's what I'm looking for.
Sometimes it requires an interview.
Well, I don't. You know, I think you guys can tell. I know most of these people. They're friends of mine. They're factories I work with. Sean just called from AFW, and they wanted on the thing. And so, you know, we're, you know, I usually stick with people I know. But very open for new people. But, you know, give me some feedback. When you call them and deal with them, let me know what's up and how they react and all that. You know, I talked to Chuck Hepp about, you know, I said, Chuck, I'm going to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you not to do it because he's so slammed. You know, he's got no time for a day off, hardly. He's got a, you know, fake time off. Chuck's Custom Carpentry, you know. I mean,
right.
Why would Chuck ever want to advertise? I got a couple other buddies of mine. They're so busy that, you know, it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I haven't seen.
All you're going to do is, hi, can you? No, I can't.
I haven't seen poor Chuck on the water in 2 years.
6 weeks I can be there to check it out.
Yeah, you know. I mean, always keep in mind, sometimes, you know, the guys are really good. Just don't advertise. Englewood, Tom Adams, and a lot of the people who are advertising on our site are doing it because we're friends.
Right.
I mean,
they're already busy, but they just...
Ray Smith, Murdoch Tire, all these other people, they've just got so much going on, but they're kind of doing it just to support us. So, Englewood Pier, Tom Adams Bridge, what's going on there?
The Tom Adams Bridge, the only thing I've heard about is some catch and release snook at night with some juvenile tarpon making the guys crazy because they can't get them to hit. One guy went out there and finally got frustrated and talked his buddy into taking them out, and he jumped a couple on his fly rod right there at the center span of the main bridge, you know, the Tom Adams Bridge going over to Minnesota.
Now, I need to quantify something.
Mm-hmm.
You keep saying catch and release snook.
Yeah.
Are you saying that because they're too small? Are you saying that because they're catching them too big? Or are you saying that because they're out of season?
The first and the last.
Okay.
Most of them are too small, but it's mostly because the season's closed. I'm not a big fan of targeting them on a regular basis when the season's closed. Just never have been. But I'm all for bending the rod and having a good time.
Yeah, just...
As long as you take the time, handle the animals a lot more properly this time of year and take the time to resuscitate everything, regardless whether the season's open or closed or not. You just...
Well, this week I've got American Fishing Wire as a sponsor for the Gulf of Mexico.
That's a good choice.
American Fishing Wire is just one of the best companies you could ever deal with. We've gotten down to, we're pretty much eliminating every other brand. It's just not worth it. We're still carrying a little bit of the Sampo and a little bit of the Spro, but you get so much for your money from American Fishing Wire on the swivels and snaps and everything else. And they have a medical division, and this company is so big.
That's their priority.
They have a medical division. And because of that, everything in their lineup, whether it's fishing tackle or medical or whatever, has to be pretty much perfect.
Right.
Because it all gets tested. Their fluorocarbon, the High Seas fluorocarbon leader, has to be perfect. has to do exactly what it says it will do or better. Their swivels have to be exactly what they say or better.
And they're all tested to medical standards.
And they don't charge that much for them.
No.
Ball bearing swivels for $3-something a pack. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They're inexpensive and unbelievably good stuff. And the tooth-proof steel, I was using that before I got to know the company. And I can tell you, boys and girls, we are such good friends with this company. They're so nice of people. I've just never... I mean, I would have... I'm flabbergasted. Every time I deal with American Fishing Wire, it just comes out to be a better and better experience. Don't buy anything else. I'm telling you right now. The High Seas, the AFW... I mean, we love Penn and the Pure Fishing people and Daiwa and everybody else, but I got to tell you something very special about American Fishing Wire. All right, getting into that, what's going on in Gulf of Mexico?
A lot of different things. Near shore from, say, 5 to 15 miles out, the grunts, the mangrove snapper, handful of lane snapper are doing good. Depends on the reef that you're on, because they are starting to bunch up for their pre-spawn. So one reef's got a bunch of mangs, the other reef will have a bunch of lanes on it. Guys are starting to see bonita blitzing anywhere from 5 to 30 miles out. There's been a couple black fins mixed in with those bonita. A couple of kings being caught with guys that are anchoring up out there, you know, for the snapper, grouper fishing.
Seeing a lot of dolphin Facebook.
Yeah, getting out further, like in that 35 mile to 50 mile mark, which basically anything over about 110 feet of water and better, guys are getting into a lot of not bad sized dolphin. I mean, I've seen some dolphin that are 5 to 8 pounds, with even a couple 10 pounders. Most of them are smaller chickens. But the red snapper seem to be the best at about 130 to 150 feet of water. But your big red grouper, your good sized gags seem to be right at that 110, 115 feet of water mark. I've heard of a couple of wahoo even at the end of last week. The guys were out there in their free line, and while they were fishing for the red snapper, and they got two back-to-back. One was a solid 30-pounder. You know, it might have even been a little bit more than that, and then the other one was probably in the mid to upper 20s.
That's a nice surprise out there.
Yeah. You know, and that's just free line and a bait out the back. They're not speed trolling or anything like that, targeting him. He's just hoping for whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw the pictures. They were pretty nice fish.
No, it's amazing. So many different types of fish, and the fishing is really good in the Gulf right now.
Yeah. I mean, that water is just amazingly clear. You get out there to that. Once you seem to hit that 120 feet of water, it starts to get that purplish-blue color.
Right.
Which has been pretty amazing. I'm just a fair-weather fisherman, so I got to pick and choose, unfortunately, so I get to miss a lot of that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, now we're getting into the passes. We've got Ponarasa Redfish, Captiva Boca, Gasparilla Stump Pass, sponsored by Shield Reels, a division of Tsunami, and lots of seals. I haven't fished it yet. I have one. I'm going to go out and fish it, see what it's like. I think, you know, if you're interested in it, it's really going to be a rod and reel together thing to make it kind of cool, because they get that solid carbon rod and new shield rods to go with the reels. We have some back in stock. We sold out, getting more back in. I'm not going to say I think it's a great reel or a bad reel at this point. We haven't had them long enough. Billy Barton's been fishing them since around the first of the year. Captain Tom Fisher got some a little while ago. He's been fishing them. We're going to get Tom on the show and kind of do a breakdown of what's going on. Last time I talked to him, he said it was doing pretty good. So, we'll see what happens with it. But so far, so good for the new Shield reels. When you click that, it takes you to a YouTube video that shows you about the interior in it and all the seals and stuff. And we have a cutout here. So far, so good.
We got a cutout of it?
Yeah,
we got a cutout.
That thing's impressive.
Yeah, it's just when you hand it to somebody, make sure you tell them to keep their fingers off the seals. I don't want to break, you know, pushing on the seals and breaking the seals, because those cutouts are expensive reels.
Right.
Anything going on different passes? We're going to give the Tsunami thumbs up for, you know, the next few months. and we will know by December if this is going to be a hit or a miss. But so far, so good. And if you're buying it from us, what's the difference? We're going to replace it. We're going to take care of it. It's kind of worth the shot, but I like it with the rod. Now, the reel's $100, rod's $100, so it's a $200 setup. But it's something a little different and not something I've seen. Solid carbon's a new thing on the rods. So we're going to see how it works out. But I'm kind of interested. I mean, well, boys and girls, I bought them. You know, right. I've gone out. I paid the money. I've got them in the store. They've got some really nice people at the factory. And kind of interesting to see where this is going to go. If they're holding up by still, if I don't have anything bad, they will be at the tent sale next year. And that's one of the things we got to talk about at ICAST. We got to fill up the tent sale again next year. Whew, that's going to be a biggie. All right. What's going on in any of the passes?
I've heard about Redfish Pass has had a couple of oversized redfish in it. A good assortment of catch and release snook there, which is normal this time of year. Been some mangrove snapper there. And I've heard of one gag grouper being caught out from underneath that seawall where the guys drift for the snook. And then as you work your way up towards Captiva Pass, that seems to be the better pass in general that I've been hearing about, with consistency of a lot of different things. Some small sharks to even a couple bigger sharks drifting the pass. They're getting a few nice mangrove snapper, some gag grouper. On the front beach side, they're getting some tarpon that are moving in and out of there as they're cruising up and down the beach. Some nice size whiting for the guys that are real patient, sitting off along the edge waiting for those guys, and some pompano. Boca Grande, I haven't heard a whole heck of a lot about, or the other passes, but those two passes had some good feedback this week on.
Yeah, Captiva has been the big one for shark. I wanted to get down there the other day and just couldn't.
Okay. Well, it's kind of interesting, you know. Captiva, you know, blitzing out Boca Grande Pass. That's the first time this year. It's kind of been in the neck and neck, but first time it walked on it. And speaking of walking on something, Walking the Beaches, sponsored by Josh the Fish Coach. That's our own Josh Olive, publisher of the Waterline Magazine, host of Radio Fishing. He is also a fishing coach. He's going out with some people tonight. They want to go out night fishing for snook. He's going to be giving he gives private fishing instruction lessons and stuff, and helps you catch fish. He's going out tonight to teach some people about nighttime snook fishing.
It's fun.
He's going up to Venice to do that. Long drive, but
it's a lot of fun. It's not 1,000 degrees. It's probably not raining.
Hopefully. So if you're going to walk the beaches, what would you cast off from land and what would you be likely to catch?
Me personally, I'd probably be throwing that Rapala with the silly name, the mullet.
Swimming mullet?
No. The new single hooked one.
The twitching mullet?
Oh. The twitching mullet.
Okay.
The twitching mullet. I've had a couple guys that have been using them out there around Inglewood Beach and Manasota Key and catching some of those small snook that have started to pour in along the beaches. A couple of jacks, even a couple of Spanish mackerel being hooked up there. The one guy caught a 17-inch flounder on it. He was pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I don't even know what's more impressive, the fact that he caught a 17-inch flounder this time of year, or that he caught it on that.
She called.
I'd probably throw a silver spoon. That would be my go-to off the beaches.
So, throwing a spoon sounds like it'd be a good idea, a silver spoon. I think that's going to do real well out there. But that new Rapala twitching mullet, I think it's going to be cool. What do you think about putting a single hook on the back of your Sprite? Because that's got a treble hook on it. And what do you think? Single hook will work?
I don't see why it wouldn't. It's not going to hurt the action like it will on a lure.
VMC has that, you know, single hook replacement for, you know, if you want to take your treble hook off and put a single hook on. And that might be interesting to do. You know,
and the nice thing is you don't have to have one of those special VMC hooks to do it on a spoon. You can put a normal circle hook or J hook on the end of it.
You know what I wanted to try? That bass fishing hook with the weed guard on it. With the weedless, you know, has that metal weed guard on it. Because they've got them for drop shotting and little short shank. We've got the long ones. putting a weedless single on the back of a spoon. I want to give that a try.
Personally, I think that's a great idea because I prefer the action of a spoon that isn't weedless with that treble hook. And the problem with throwing them on those flats is that they've got a treble hook and it's not weedless. And I think it would be a great idea to put that type of hook on that type of spoon.
Yeah, you know, the weed garden ones.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But I'm going to give that a try this summer when I get out throwing some spoons. Still trying to... Got one of those things to put my boat on and take it off. Not a lift, but one of those float things. And I do not know of a good place to buy one or even a good one of them. Mine is still kind of a pain in the butt. It's been a lot of experimenting. I've got it so it kind of works, but no, I'm not recommending it. You know, I think a regular boat lift of some kind is probably a better idea. I mean, the money isn't enough different to justify the pain in the butt.
Gotcha.
And they're not made for shallow running boats. If you got a deep running boat, they'd be fine. But you don't want anywhere near your seawall. I had to rev it up so hard, mine locked in on it, couldn't get it off. I have no idea how to get it off.
Have you tried running the skiff up on it?
No. I've just been trying.
Just curious.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm very, very disappointed in the float-on, drive-on boat dock things, you know, like you would for jet ski. They get them for boats. Not impressed at all. So and a lack of give a rat's butt from the people you buy it from.
Sure. I think
that's the other thing that annoys me. So anyway, Ponarasa, Sanibel Island, anything going on down there?
I honestly have not heard of anything down there at all this week.
Anything, Cal?
That's way out of my bailiwick.
I think it's just because of the fireworks going on that there was more boating activity and watching than fishing down there.
All right. What about on the Caloosahatchee?
Right down towards the southern part, down by the Cape Coral Causeway. Even though the fireworks went off there, there was actually some guys doing some night fishing for tarpon last weekend and did exceptionally good and even caught a few big snook off of it. They said the amount of snook popping around it was pretty amazing. But that's really about the only activity I've heard of anywhere down in that area. You hear anything?
No, they haven't started any discharges there yet or anything, have they?
No, they've got the gates open. It's flushing water out. They're just not pumping it out in an astronomical amount.
Well, what really makes a difference, because every year they take water out of Okeechobee.
Sure. What? I was just wondering with the amount of rain that we got, if they've started again.
Oh, yeah. But the big difference last year was not the water coming out of Okeechobee. All of the ponds for the sugarcane fields and the rice fields, because they have massive lakes and ponds and retention areas, that was so full. They were pumping that up, and that had so much new fertilizer and all the rest of that stuff. It was so much other stuff that was also being pumped in. It wasn't so much just that coming out of Okeechobee. It was coming out of, they were trying not to flood that whole area, so they were having to pump that whole area dry. And that was the biggest problem with it. Because every year we get the fresh water coming down. But last year was such a problem because there was so much more stuff in it. Which takes us up to Matt Lachey. Speaking of more stuff. Matt Lachey.
Right there, just south of Matt Lachey, I've been hearing of a bunch of juvenile tarpon and a handful of redfish. Even a few bigger trout that the guys have been catching, mostly all of them on pinfish. You know, pinfish seems to be the dominant food source for a lot of fish right now, and part of it's due to the lack of white bait, you know. But also this time of year, They turn onto the pinfish because it's just got a little bit more substance to it.
Well, I think it's slower. White bait scoots around more, and in the hot water, low oxygen, it's calories. What does it take you to chase something down to eat it versus going up and getting it?
Right.
And the pinfish are not as hard to catch.
Right.
You know, especially if they're on a hooker or a sinker or something like that. They're much easier to deal with.
Yeah.
No, how many times you go out there and drift the flats and see 30 pinfish there in one spot flashing on the bottom while they're feeding?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see whitebait doing that.
No.
No, they don't sit still.
All right. Let's see. What the heck, Matt Lachey. Pine Island Sound. This is sponsored by the local phenomenon known as Reaper Rods. Reaper Rods has become a Florida phenomenon.
To say the least.
To say the least. I mean, it's absolutely staggering how many people... the only complaint I've ever had about Reaper Rods, and there's one main complaint. If you buy one, you almost always buy another.
Yeah. Right.
It's, they're, they, if you throw lures and you're a big lure fisherman, you're going to want a Reaper. It's taking the bass market by storm. They're bait casting rods, the spinning rods in the salt water. I mean, it's a phenomenon. They're made right here in Punta Gorda. American components assembled here in Punta Gorda. And it's the assembly that makes it cool, because if these rods are not splined perfectly, if they don't line up right, if you're off by just a little bit, this microwave guide system is worse than the normal system. If it's all done perfectly, it's phenomenal. But about three companies tried to sell me on this system, and not one of them worked as well as my off-the-rack stuff with standard. Reaper actually did better. The reason they're in the store is they're tested, they're true, they actually do what they say they do. So, and they're made right here.
Yeah, so. Yep. They built me a beautiful tarpon rod last weekend.
Oh yeah,
I'm super excited to try that out. That new 8-foot.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a big seller next year.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think a few of the major companies are going to have a little bit of their market taken by this little tiny Port Charlotte based company. That's
yeah.
Yeah. And the good thing about it is he's not pushing it. They're not doing anything, but it's going big. But Pine Island Sound, have we heard anything?
Yeah. Around the shacks down there and just south of the shacks towards Captiva Rocks, that whole expanse there has got quite a few good trout fishing. Been some redfish scattered out there in some of those deeper holes. Some mangrove snapper. Mixed variety, Spanish mackerel, a couple bluefish, and then the tarpon as you work your way out towards the ICW right there, kind of heading towards Captiva. Been good tarpon just kind of moving up and down the edge of the channel, and then an assortment of bigger sharks and smaller sharks, especially nurse sharks. I'm still hearing a lot of nurse sharks coming from down in that area, all the way up to like 8-9 foot. I mean, yeah. Good-sized nurse sharks.
Which is odd.
Yeah.
Usually that's a very, very good black tip spot.
Black tips and lemons usually this time of year. So it's been pretty surprising how many nurse sharks I keep hearing about down there.
Yeah. Robert gets over there and he's talking like this. And all of a sudden he gets really excited. He gets really loud. I'm turning on the volume.
But you notice it only happens on tarpon and sharks.
Yeah, it's like, come on, Robert. You're killing me here, bud. Try to make it a little even based, and Robert's on the excitement things today. New sponsor for Boquilla Jug Creek Shoal is JT's Custom Pools. That's Jason Tari.
Where are we at?
Boquilla Jug Creek Shoals.
The only thing I've honestly heard about has been a mixed variety of trout and a couple of Spanish mackerel down there. It's been pretty quiet from what I've heard on my end.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. About the exact same thing.
Okay. You know, usually there's a good amount of bait down there, so usually you're finding an assortment of other fish, but honestly, it's been just the trout and a few Spanish mackerel.
Now, if you get out by the bar, there's a lot of big stingrays out there. The sharks are out there. Stingrays and sharks out on the bar.
Assortment of different sharks?
Yeah, and it's been pretty darn good.
Okay.
So many fish, but they're not up on the flats in Boquilla. You're literally going outside of the bars, and those two big underwater islands outside of those, there's a lot of fish out there. It's actually pretty good right now, but it's not where you would think they are.
Gotcha.
So that's what's making it a little tough for people to find some fish there.
They're not moving out far enough.
Yeah, they're going back to where I would normally fish, but now off the pier at Boquilla, been some big old snook caught over the last couple of weeks. I haven't heard anything this week, so I'm not really putting that in as that. Just to give you an idea, JT Custom Pools, that's Jason, been friends for years. And if you need work done to your pool, you know, like servicing and all that, they do all that. Or they can actually build you a pool from scratch. And I've keep asking him, you know, what would it cost me for a pool? What would it cost me for a pool? I just don't really have the spot place for it right now, but Ken always wanted one.
I think you ought to put it in under the house.
Yeah, just cut up some of the concrete.
Dude, take all that concrete out from underneath it and just put a pool in there. Yeah. Why not?
I actually thought about that in the back, just expanding it out. You know, we've got that section of the backyard. I never use it for anything.
Ask him if he can put a pool on stilts.
There you go.
It doesn't make any sense to walk downstairs to the pool.
I put a slide in.
Yeah, there you go. You could do that.
Now, putting a slide from my top.
Yeah, down into the pool.
Right down into the pool. Now, that would be cool. But then I have to get back up. So I have to get another lift or an elevator. Anybody know a good elevator guy? If you know a good elevator guy, I'm dire need of one. Which moves us over to dire needs, which would be Burnt Store Two Pines, sponsored by Shimano. Actually manufacturer of pretty good reels this year. Actually,
they made some good positive changes.
Some corporate changes. They moved out of California and they moved to South Carolina.
Seriously?
Wow.
So
really,
somebody has removed their cranium from their
keister.
Yes, took the cranium out of their keister, and it's showing in the attitude of the company. Getting better all the time. Shimano's getting better by the day, and actually came back recommending Shimano reels again.
Wow.
So yeah, wow. I thought it'd be a lot longer before I'd actually be able to say that, but we've got a great relationship with them now, and so we're back on board selling Shimano's, and you know, things are going well. The CI4, the Sienna, their Toriums, there's all kinds of different Shimano reels. So
yeah,
doing good. Still not big into their rods because there's no in-store warranty on them yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah. Baby steps, come on.
Baby steps. You know, hey, I'm actually, I said great things about Shimano. What more do you want? You know, Danny, do you hear that? I said good things about you. All right. Burnt Store Two Pines, what's going on?
There's been a lot of juvenile tarpon inside the bar and on the outside of the bar south of Burnt Store all the way down. It's mostly been an early morning thing or right before sunset. Whether you're wade fishing or in a boat, those fish are moving along real nice and slow, so don't chase them. Try to just wait for them to come to you. Catch and release snook right along the edges of the mangroves have been really impressive. There's actually been better quality fish along there. And then on the outside edge of the bar, a couple miles south of Burnt Store, there's been some big tarpon showing up with some consistency and an assortment of sharks.
Two Pines has been absolutely ridiculous with snook.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You may see one or two redfish in there throughout the course of the day, but snook has been the big one.
A lot of schools stacked up along there that you're seeing, or just numbers of fish being caught?
Numbers of fish being caught. They're not really. There'll be some areas that they're schooled up, like the entrances, the deep entrances into Two Pines. They'll usually stack up in there. Once you get inside to the mangroves, it's two or three fish per tree. You know, it's been not big numbers in one spot, but they're spread out and it'll be consistent. That's one of those places where you get on your trolling motor and just go.
Put it as slow as it can go. Just keep casting the trees
yep.
until you find
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. No, it's not until you find them. They're there. It's just you got to pace yourself or you run through and miss half of them.
Well, good advice. Very good advice. Okay, brings us down over to the east side of the harbor, sponsored by Akuma. And you know, what's the name of that $100 Akuma reel? Array?
Samar?
No, Samar is the $50 one. That's a really good $50 reel. I can't even remember. I was going to look it up.
Yeah, I forgot to look it up.
Okay. I got it. Azores. A-Z-O-R-E-S. That's that $100 Akuma reel. And it is doing really, really well.
Yes.
Akuma's got a good, solid reel on that Azores. And that $50 reel, the Seymour or whatever, that is another very, very solid reel. And the Shadow Stalker rods, you know, it's becoming harder and harder to say, okay, you know, looking at in the $100 reel market, what do you recommend? You know what I mean? It's getting harder and harder. And
that's a good thing. That's a good thing because for the last 3 years, it's been your battle, here's your star rod. Here's right. your battle,
Before
here's your star rod.
Here's your bokeh, you know.
And, yep.
Before Quantum had the Bokas, we were selling, Shimano had that Sedona.
Right.
Not Sedona. What was,
the Spheros.
Spheros. We sold this like crazy, the Spheros, and then they changed that, and I didn't like it. We went to the Quantum Bokas, we did that for a while, and then the Penn Battles came out, and it's just that every few years, we would have a different, you know, main reel. And
right.
now Akuma's got this reel, this Azores, which is, you know, really good. You got the Finnor Lethal. We got Finnor sponsoring a thing.
The Shield.
The Shield reels out there. The Penn Battles there. And they're all trying to get muscle in on Penn's territory, that battle reel.
That $99 feel.
Taking the country by storm, the battle did. Just took over the fishing market. And I will say, you can almost pick it by the color.
Yeah.
Because pick out what color you like. How does it look with your rod? Because in that $100 mark,
you've got quite a few choices.
Yeah, you've got several choices now. And Akuma is definitely one of the choices you can pick and feel very good about it. Good reel at a good price. So on the east side of the harbor, what are we looking at? Isn't that a lousy way to do an ad, boys and girls? We're supposed to be advertising Akuma. We talk about everybody else. I suck at this, but it's the truth. They got a good reel.
They do.
You know, but it's silver with black highlights.
Yeah.
The only one I don't understand, I hate to slam Daiwa, but you walk into the booth and go, when did you start carrying Penn?
Yeah.
They look just like the Penn. And I hear the BG's doing okay. We haven't been carrying them long enough. But Azor from Akuma, we'll plug that back in. All right, east side of the harbor, what's going on?
Still lots of trout out there on the flats. Lots of snook in around the mangroves.
I was watching her. I'm making sure it was sinkers in the pack. we got a little girl out there. She's got to be, what is she, two or three?
Two and a half.
Two and a half, yeah. Cute. But she was picking packages off the wall. I was keeping an eye on her, make sure she was only getting sinkers. You don't want those pretty little fingers getting hurt. Hey, darling. Anyway, that's the way our show goes. Sorry, boys.
Still seeing trout out there on the flats. Lots of snook up around the mangroves. I think the big one to watch, especially early morning, is look for the juvenile tarpon out there on the flats. Right there on the southern end from probably Pirate Harbor on up to about Redfish Key. Every once in a while, there's some tarpon hanging out there on the flats. The nice thing is, keep trout fishing. They're not hurting the trout fishing at all. But at least bring one of those rods in and put a pinfish out there underneath the bobber. That seems to be what they want out there on the flats for those juvenile tarpon.
Oh.
Still seeing some sheephead around the trees. And still seeing lots of spadefish around the mangroves.
What about the bonnet heads and some of the smaller sharks that have been on the outside bar? I haven't heard anything this week, but last week they seemed like they were a little steady.
We haven't caught any bonnet heads out there for the past week.
Okay.
And that's kind of the way it's been out there for the past few
months.
Easter
famine.
Yeah, they're either it's full of them or they're moving out. And then they'll come back and, like you said, it'll be feast again, and then the next day they're gone.
Okay, it's going to take us to Alligator Creek, sponsored by Ackline HR for all your payroll, you know, human resources, workman's comp, all that stuff. And that's who does all the stuff for Fish and Franks.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, this was after several companies, several trials.
Oh, yeah.
And people keep calling me up saying, well, I'll give you a better deal. And I said, no way. No way am I leaving Acklin. Payroll companies, you have to be careful because they do all your bookkeeping and everything. And then when they mess it up, you're liable for the fines and penalties.
Right.
These guys take care of it. That's what I like. I'm doing this so I don't have the problems. And I don't, if they cause me a problem, they cause themselves a problem. They did not cause me a problem. It has been a great relationship. Give them a call if you need payroll stuff. Alligator Creek, what's going on there?
Mostly what I've been hearing about has been right there in Burntstall Isles, right at the where the old lock used to be, going into the system itself. A lot of juvenile tarpon, some very good-sized black drum, handful of snapper, but that's starting to slow down a little bit. And even the snook activity slowed down a little bit back in there. But the juvenile tarpon have been all over the place. So guys have been doing pretty good from their own personal docks or just slowly trolling, motoring through and looking for some rolling fish.
Out in front of Alligator Creek, there's been a lot of ladyfish. They were so heavy in there the other day that you could have walked from probably Crab Trap all the way out to a Mangrove Point on top of them out there in front of Alligator Creek. There's been a school of jacks running around out there in front of Alligator Creek, and the tarpon have been hit or miss. That's another one that's there one day, gone the next. If you're going to sit in that area and look for tarpon, like I've been seeing a lot of people doing, you're doing it wrong. You've got to get out there and move around. Just because they popped up in that spot yesterday doesn't mean they're going to pop up in that spot today.
Right.
If you have the side scan, set it all the way out to 200 feet and drive around slow, put some trolling lures out the back of the boat and look for them. A good place to look is on those tide lines. Now, there's a lot of bait fish out in front of Alligator Creek. Now, I don't know if they're small greenbacks or big glass minnows.
Gotcha.
But they're following those tide lines, and all that's right. Probably where you're going to find your tarpon.
Let's get that when we get to the reef. Let's go over to Ponce de Leon Park.
Well, I'm just hearing of a few black drum and some small jacks coming through there every now and then. It's been a little quiet this past week over there.
Yeah, snapper have slowed down.
Mm-hmm. They kind of have everywhere. So that's kind of normal.
All right. We have the PGI Canal System, sponsored by Charlotte Harbor Construction, a home builder in Punta Gorda. They're on 512 East Marion Avenue. Great people. They love to fish. If you're thinking about a home, thinking about moving to Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, give Charlotte Harbor Construction a call. They are a custom home builder. They can build you a beautiful house. And you need a good house to have a nice home. And I wrote on there, we build great houses, because truly I've been in some not good houses, and while it was a nice home, it just wasn't great. And when you start off with a great house, you can build a good home, or a great home. All right, anyway, Charlotte Harbor Construction. What's going on in PGI Canals?
Well, mostly juvenile tarpon of what I've been hearing about. You know, a handful of black drum back in there, depending on which canal system you're at. But the juvenile tarpon have been the main talk of everybody up inside there.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem, I mean, you got your usual haunts like Bass Inlet, the Turnaround Basin, and Colony Point. But a lot of the canals farther back up inside there have been really pretty fishy. So that's been the main thing I've been hearing.
Right. I've got a bone to pick with PGI.
Okay.
And we sat in front of Grassy Point for the fireworks, and you could see fireworks everywhere. From all the way up Harbor Heights, all down all the way to Capay's Point.
Right.
You see fireworks everywhere. Going through the Port Charlotte canals on the way home, fireworks everywhere.
Right.
Nothing in PGI. You guys really need to raise your America level up.
Well, there's also more restrictions, zoning restrictions, more problematic there for them to do it. Even though there's some of the restrictions in the Port Charlotte, it's not enforced like it is across the river.
It's the 4th of July. Fight the man.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. You heard it.
Nice touch.
I will let our PGIers know that they've got to step up, make a lot more noise on the 4th of July. Okay. America's B-Day. All right. Gilchrist beer.
Crickets.
Yeah, it's another one that's been crickets. Can you even get to it? I know that they've had East Retta Esplanade closed for a while for construction. Can you even get to the fishing piers?
I have no idea.
That might be why I'm not hearing much at all.
It very well could be.
Could be. It's closed, and that's why nobody's on it. So, all right, Alligator Creek Reef. What's going on at the reef?
Still getting some snapper and a few sheephead here and there. But other than that, the reef itself has been on the quiet side. Again, look for those tarpon around the outskirts in between the reefs and the bars and the reefs and the deep holes.
Been a handful of cobia being seen with guys out there looking for the tarpon on the reef and around the reef. Yeah. And a couple small sharks that I've been hearing about still.
I was just getting ready to throw that in. The tarpon, cobia, shark thing out at the reef is more than possible. And now it takes us out to the deep holes in the harbor, and sponsored by Seato. You see the yellow boat. I said, you guys want to sponsor the deep hole? I said, every time I drive by you guys, you're sitting out there in the hole somewhere. I said, it'd be a perfect one for you guys to sponsor that yellow boat sitting out there. And they said, sure, they were going to sponsor it. So it's actually pretty cool. Nice people. I had to use them a while back. So, I mean, I've had Seato for quite a while. I will tell you, every year you pay your money, you get your Seato thing, and you think, why am I paying this? Until the day you're stuck out there.
Right.
And then it's one phone call, okay, we're coming to get you, and if we can't get it going, we'll tow you back.
The insurance is much cheaper than the tow. Much, much cheaper than the tow.
Yes. You could buy 10 years worth of the membership for what it cost you for a tow. So anyway, you were talking about tide lines and stuff just a minute ago. Is this holding true out in the harbor?
Yeah, you're still seeing it out in the harbor. That's because, like I said, from Cape Hayes up is where you're seeing smaller bait fish. And like I said, I don't know if they're juvenile thread fins or if they're big glass minnows or both. But it really doesn't matter. It's all fish food. I haven't seen too much happening in the deep holes. Lots of catfish. We fished the upper hole for shark the other day. Didn't get anything. We moved down towards an area I call the taint, which is in between the bottom hole and the middle hole. And usually a very good shark spot for me. And we moved out there. I don't know if there were any sharks there. We couldn't catch any sharks through all the tarpon. The tarpon would suck down those mullet, suck them right off the hooks, and you'd get about 3 feet of a run and then gone. If the mullet was still there, it didn't have shark teeth marks in it, so we knew it was a tarpon picking up. But there were a bunch of tarpon in that area around the Pirate Harbor middle hole area.
Okay. Now, this is taking us to the bait reports. And let me get this thing put in. There we go. Okay. Now, what about the bait report? Is there any white bait anywhere?
I've gotten reports. The guys are still getting it around devilfish. But it seems that you've got to be out there and have it ready and done by 7 in the morning. Because after that, it starts to disappear.
Okay.
Good schools of big thread fins in between Boca Grande Pass and Cape Hayes.
Okay. I got that. Now, thread fins where?
From Boca Grande Pass up to about Cape Hayes. And those are your big tarpon threadies.
Okay. Robert, anything?
Then they get smaller as they go around Cape Hayes. There's a bunch of small thread fins from Cape Hayes all the way up to the 41 bridge. There's a couple of schools of tarpon-sized threadies in and around that whole area, but most of it's on the smaller side. A lot of guys are confusing it for white bait, but it's all thread fins. And then there is some white bait out there on the east side, but it's so small you're going to Christmas tree even a quarter-inch net. So pinfish is by far the best bait to target if you want to do some flats fishing more than anything else. One, because they're focused on feeding on it. Number two, because...
Where are you going to find the pinfish?
Down by the ice house right there at the entrance of Pirate Harbor's had quite a few. Devilfish is loaded up with it. And then the Boca Grande side of Placida. You know, the basically South Pier that... I don't know, backside of Boca Grande, basically, all on those grass flats. Good numbers of pinfish, and they're from silver dollar size to about 3 inches. You know, the little bit deeper water's holding some bigger pinfish, but those have been a little bit of a struggle to catch for most people. You know, but everything seems to be eating it pretty well, so I've got no complaints about using pinfish over anything else. You been trying any cut pinfish out there on the bushes or anything, or just live ones?
Just live.
Working them on a jig head or under a float?
Well, I'll either put them under a float, or I will free line them hooked about in the middle of the back.
Well, there you go.
And under a bobbers on the flats for the trout, I'll hook them right across the back.
All right. Now, do we have any freshwater reports?
Well, about the only freshwater reports I've been getting... has been the tilapia and Mayan cichlids over in the Rotunda area. Quite a few guys have been trying to fish for those. They've been coming in buying worms. A couple guys have been buying minnows and little spinners for them. Other than that, I haven't heard much else. I think all that rain we had a couple weeks ago, there's so many tadpoles in all these ponds hatching out that the fish are pretty content on feeding on those pretty regularly. So I think it's made it a little tougher bite.
Okay. Bass fishing, anything going on bass fishing once?
It's been quiet this week.
All right. Now, that brings us to the bottom of the page, and we got to do a tarpon map to go with this because we're moving the tarpon report to the bottom of the page here.
Now, do we have a big hole in our report, or did I miss it?
What are you talking about?
We kind of left out that big open area inside Boca Grande Pass.
You mean up on the hill?
Yeah, kind of between the hill and Cape Hayes, at Cape Hayes Reef. We really don't talk about that area, it seems.
It coincides with out in, you know, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay area, and Boquilla. They
Cape
all kind of cross
Reef
over.
And then Boca Grande Pass, you know.
The only reason I say is because we did very well on sharks out there the other day.
Okay, could have threw that in when we were talking about the passes, just inside.
Okay.
So, all right, anyway, tarpon reports. What's going on?
There's still some fish out on the beaches, not a lot. The majority of the fish are starting to move inside the harbor from basically the hill all the way up to marker one. They are still scattered all over the place, so you got to look for them, but once you find a good little nut of them, stay concentrated on them, or just be patient to just wait for some of those fish to come to you because they're so scattered all over.
You know. I found if you found your own little group and just stayed in one spot, they're kind of working in circles out there.
Yeah.
Get to where you can get within casting distance of them and stay there.
Yeah.
Don't chase them. Don't follow them. Just be patient.
Yeah.
If you miss them on this go-around, a couple minutes later, they'll come back again.
Yep. And they're feeding on the bigger thread fins, the smaller thread fins. Guys are catching them on pinfish. I mean, bait busters, storm swim baits. I mean, those are kind of the two essentials that I always take with me because I'm not going to struggle and make myself crazy trying to catch the live bait for them.
Yep. I don't blame you. Those storm paddle tails work very well. We did have a couple hits on those while we were set up for shark. I don't know if they're going to stay with this full moon. I don't know if they'll all go back down to the pass. I'm kind of thinking what we're seeing is that first group that bred out are now coming in to feed.
Right.
So they may stay, they may leave.
I think you'll have a handful of fish leave, but I think we still got more fish coming. It's just they've been weird. You know, Tampa's got their, you know, we kind of go back and forth between Tampa and here, so Tampa, the last several days, I've had some incredible reports up in there.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of several people driving over the Skyway and just seeing massive schools of tarp, and but that's going to last. Then all of a sudden, boom, they'll be back down here, and then they'll be here for a few days, and then, boom, go back up there. All right. So we got to remember to do that. Any insights, hint onto the tarpon?
Not really. I would just be patient. You know, that's the key thing, is be patient and watch for the fish. I'm personally, if this time of year, I like to be out there right at sunrise, starting to do just a nice, barely on plane, running down one side of the harbor to come back up the other side, looking for some rolling fish or free jumpers, or definitely a concentrated number of fish. And then coming back in by 10 or 11 at the latest, and then waiting until the afternoon when that sea breeze hopefully slows back down and the thunderstorms have dissipated, and go back out there again when it's calm again to try to find those fish, and same scenario. You know, but like I said, I'm going to use the swim baits and the DOA bait busters are my go-to, so I don't have to mess with anything else. And even if you want, while you're going out there, because you're just barely going along, you're just above idle or just barely on plane, troll one of those little bait busters or swim baits behind the boat. You never know what's going to come up and whack it while you're doing it. You just got to make sure you're a good 100, 150 feet behind the boat when you're going to do that. Make sure you're not going to booger up anybody else that might be out there sitting on trolling motor or drifting looking for the same thing you are. Try to give a wide berth while you're doing that.
Yeah, and it's not because you need to because of the fish. You just don't want to get yelled at, because a lot of people aren't bright enough to understand that if you're idling through with an outboard and you idle through and don't go to neutral, don't speed up, don't slow down, fish will hear you come and hear you go, and it won't affect their fishing at all.
Right.
Nope.
It's that tone when you drop the motor down, or
it's when you stop the noise or speed up. That spooks them, because now something changed. Other than that, they hear the motors come and go all day. Yeah. You know, that's just a fact of life in the water, all the outboards running.
They've been hearing outboards for the past 70 years. It's not going to phase them. No, I agree with everything Robert said. Personally, I don't care about it, that morning breeze. I've got side scan. I set it to 400 feet, 200 on each side, and go, you're cutting 400-foot swaths through the water looking for tarpon. You know, it used to be, oh, we got to see them rolling. We got to see them free jumping. No, you don't. It's a lot of fish, and it's a small harbor. These tarpon come to the same spots every year. So they're going to be in the general area that they were every year for the past 70 years. Get out there with that side scan. Turn it on. Put it to use. It works.
The only one that's not going to be like that is Boca Raton Pass. They're not going to be doing what they've done for 60, 70 years, because the pass fills in. It changes each year. So, you know, that's one thing people are going to have to remember. But the fish that come in the harbor, they've got certain haunts they like, and that is unchanged. But fishing Boca Raton Pass, one year it's narrower, one year it's shallower, it's a little deeper here, it's less deep there. It changes now. It's a naturally occurring pass for the first time in 100 years.
Right.
So it's all going to be different. Every year when you go to Boca Raton Pass, things are going to get, they're not going to be just like they were the year before. That's, I guess, the best way to say it. All right. Well, we've got all that up. Anything else we need to talk about or go over or recite, whatever?
Not that I can think of that we missed.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to click load on the loading the fishing report up on there. And we're going to do, well, we'll work on a tarpon map. But Captain Kale, anything you can, any last words of wisdom?
Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. It's Florida out there now. Put extra water on the boat.
So you're talking about you should probably drink a little more than
drink
normal.
A little bit more water than you usually do. Take a little bit more. Take a little bit less beer. Yes, it's made out of water, but it doesn't help you with your hydration.
Yes, it does.
Alcohol works against you, period.
Not American beer. American beer has so little alcohol.
Well, if you're drinking something like Coors Light, then yes.
So, yeah, we're not talking about German beer that you can cut with a scissors, you know. But any liquid is good, but beer does tend to, the alcohol raises the heat to the surface, so it's not as good. But the, anyway, as Kale chugs down the last bottle of whatever it is over there.
Mountain Dew. That doesn't help either.
Okay, yeah. So, actually, all liquids help. Any liquid is better than none. It's a good idea just to keep sipping on them all day. Let's see. And I'm going to add, with all that extra water on board, bring a transmission funnel. Keeps you from...
It's a weird way to drink water.
No. When it comes out the other end. Yeah, you know, that's to help get rid of it, or a bottle. So, anyway, Robert, any words of wisdom?
No, I think you guys covered it pretty well.
Okay. I can't think of anything, so I will put, let's see, kind of a... Okay, that's one more down the drain, and I
On think that transmission funnel note?
I think we can call it quits for this one. So anyway, Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across me, and Captain Kale in the guest spot. It's been the Area Fishing Report. We thank you guys so much, and we appreciate you putting up with the advertisements. It's helping pay for people to be on the floor so we can take time each week to do this and get it right. Brand new formats, brand new way of doing the fishing talks at Luigi's. I got something very cool in mind. We're going to be changing it all around, and because what we've been doing is since 2010, right, Kale?
That's about right.
Okay, so you know, after in our eighth year now, we are revamping the whole thing. It's going to be pretty cool. Waiting on a little bit of equipment to come in, but check out the Fish Club now. Next week, remember, the Fishing Report won't be here till Saturday because we will be at ICAST looking at all the cool new fishing stuff. So, talk to you next Saturday, boys and girls. Bye-bye.